Good afternoon, listeners. It is 4:02. You're listening to Katie and Kay. This is Katie and Kay, Carbondale Community Access Radio, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. And joining me in studio, this is Raleigh Burley. Joining me is Lisa Goddard. How are you, Lisa?
I'm very well and happy to see you, Raleigh.
Lisa is joining me on this cloudy afternoon to talk about the merits of silence. This is something that you have studied in depth as a meditation practitioner and the founder of Roaring Fork Insight, which is all about bringing meditation practices to people in a way that's understandable and approachable and not overly intimidating.
Very well said. That's it, yeah.
So to begin on this topic of silence, we're in the summer season, so people are probably feeling quite busy and rather stressed, could be, or they might be enjoying, you know, their summer time off, if they're kids especially. But even then, there's a lot of camps going on, and I think this Roaring Fork Valley is notorious for busybodies. So what can you say about the value of pulling ourselves out of that busyness momentarily to enjoy moments of silence?
Well, the beautiful thing about our community is that to a large extent, the people that live here, they really value our natural environment. And with so much water this year, you know, you can carve out silence just by walking down the crystal and seeing how it changes, or going on a hike up Avalanche Creek, or heading up to Sopris. And we carve out our silence generally, many people in this valley, through really doing activities. So the benefit of not doing kind of is, it's a partner in the practice of silence, really being still. That is something that I find is, as a parent and a human being, it's challenging to be still and create stillness in our lives.
Yeah. My understanding is that you practice Zen Buddhism in a secular way, really, but more implementing the techniques of meditation. And sitting, particularly sitting in silence, not only not talking to people, like you just mentioned, many people take their silence in the form of activity, in hiking or biking or even boating the rivers the way they are now. How did you discover the practice of sitting in silence, and how did it come around to growing to be such an important part of your life?
Good question. So I did start off in Zen meditation. I went to a place in Northern California called Green Gulch Farm, and I started practicing Zen 21 years ago. And I quickly got turned on to a different type of practice. It's called Vipassana, translated as insight meditation. And it was part of the Goenka school of meditation. So it was the traditional way of going about it was that you would go off to retreat and you would sit for 10 days and you would just sit. And so my experience with that particular, well, the first experience really was in Zen, where you face a wall and there's a bit of form to that practice. And I learned that we can't turn off the mind. So the real practice is to start to understand that there's a misconception with meditation that many people have. And that's this idea of being able to quiet the mind, turn off the mind. Like, okay, I'm going to go and do a day-long retreat. Like I'm offering this day-long retreat next month on July 14th at Flying Dog Ranch. And it's a silent retreat. It's a day of being in silence. So people say, well, I can't meditate. My mind's too busy. So the way that I look at that and have in my own experience, the mind and the production of thought. Like, thoughts are like the salivatory glands. We produce thoughts like we produce saliva. It's completely natural. And there's nothing wrong with thinking. You're not actually trying to turn off the thoughts. Rather, as you still the mind, still your body, you start to see, well, what is the content? What is the attitude that I'm bringing to this experience? So it's really a practice of intimacy and listening. Like, that is truly the practice of meditation, is a deep listening. And at first, when we sit down, I'm sure that some of your listeners right now are sitting in traffic on their way home or on their way to some activity. And in traffic, you know, there's a lot of busyness going on. There's people weaving in and out. There's aggression. For ourselves, there can be frustration, anxiety, because you're going to be late somewhere. And then there are those times when you're on a road trip and all you see is for miles or fields and distant mountains, and maybe the passenger's got their feet out the window against the rearview mirror, and it's quite relaxing and easeful, and there's no traffic. So when you come into a meditation retreat for the first time, what you often experience is you remove yourself from that external traffic, only to learn that there's this whole internal highway of traffic. And you're like, whoa. And normally it's about 10 to 15, like top 10 thoughts that come floating through. So things that you want, things that you're working on, things that you don't want, relationships that are failing, relationships that you want to cultivate. So these top 10 thoughts come in, you know, they just keep coming, and various strategies also meet these top 10 thoughts. And so you start to get familiar with the traffic pattern. Oh, so I've got these top 10 thoughts, and here's my traffic pattern. Eventually, and maybe in a day long, maybe in a longer meditation retreat, you get to that space where there is space. So it's like you're driving down that country road that is open and spacious with your feet out the window, and you're just being with yourself. And the noise doesn't stop. The chatter continues. You're just not invested in it. You're not invested in it. You are not your thoughts. And you start to really understand that. So it takes some courage. It can be euphoric, and it also can be challenging.
Now, you mentioned Vipassana, which is something that I've also experienced, the Guenka school, all over the world, with these 11-day retreats where people, by giving a donation, however much, participate in 10 days of silence and are encouraged not even to bring a book or anything to write on, and sit through, I don't remember the exact number, but at least 8 hours of meditation each day, which can be incredibly stressful too. And you mentioned you can't stop your thoughts. The thoughts are going to happen. And one thing I remember from Vipassana is you sort of train your mind to do something else, whether that's scanning up and down from the crown of your head to your appendages, your fingertips and toes, or a lot of other meditations have you focusing on breath. But I also see it as cultivating that ability to not let the mind rule our lives, not live by our minds, but rather use the mind as a tool, as something that is incredibly powerful, but we're not necessarily slaves to our mind. Rather, the other way around, we get to master our minds. So you mentioned this silent retreat at Flying Dog Ranch. Once again, that date being Sunday, July 14th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Could you tell us a little bit about the format of that day?
Absolutely. So My primary training is in Vipassana. I come from the School of Spirit Rock Meditation Center in the Bay Area in California, and so my primary teachers are there. I've done extensive retreat training, and what we will be doing on Sunday, July 14th, from 10 to 5, it's 7 hours. There will be periods, long periods of silence with some instruction. And really, the format is not as rigorous as, say, the Goenka retreat. So in the traditional Goenka Vipassana retreat experience, you would sit for 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours, and you would do body scans. So the practice will be much more of a lighter experience than that. So we will really work with the what are known as the four foundations of mindfulness. So we'll go and work with the body, the senses, the feelings, the thought formations, and then touch into really just being with the way things are in your own experience. The Dharma, as it's known, the truth of the way things are in your experience. And each one of those will be investigated from your own perspective. So really, there's some guidance, and then you just have to be with yourself. You know, in the early teachings of the Buddha, the school that I'm from really relies heavily on, it's the Theravada school, the path of the elders, it's translated as. And there's a lovely Pali saying, it's ahi pasiko. Ahi pasiko, it translates as come and see for yourself. So I, as the guide, can instruct some and give some suggestion, but it is really on the person who is sitting on the cushion or on the chair or on the floor or walking through the gardens to experience for themselves, well, what is this? What is this me in this body experience? You know, we start to slow down and we touch into the subtle body, the sensations that are alive. And we really start to touch into the experience of change. Everything is always changing. Like, think of an apple. See the apple in your mind, right? How quickly you move to apple pie, right? Or, I don't want to think of an apple. I prefer strawberries. So we, our minds quickly, one of my teachers used to say that the mind has no shame. It will go anywhere at any time. So we, and that's to be known. That's mm-hmm. to be known. Like, it's not like we have this inability to have one pointed focus. It's more that we live in a culture that has us constantly distracted. And so our one-pointed focus is a weak muscle. So this day long on July 14th from 10 to 5 at Flying Dog Ranch will be an opportunity to get to know the content of your mind, the attitude in the mind, and to slow down the traffic, to come into a spacious awareness of what's happening in your body mind. You know, sometimes people go on retreat and they have this idea that, okay, I'm going to work really hard and I'm going to silence my mind. I'm going to be quiet. And then they bring that as soon as the retreat ends, they go back into their world and they're just hostile. And they are just, it's like they've suppressed their experience in an effort to have some other experience that is not true for them. So part of it is just to accept what is true in your own experience. See it with compassion. You know, these practices, it's said, they're like the wings of a bird. And one of the wings is wisdom. Mm-hmm. And the other is compassion. And you can't really, the bird can't fly with just one wing. It'll spin and crash. So the cultivation of wisdom is what we'll be doing with compassion, because sometimes what you see when you sit is the busy mind. Not like it's a problem. It's just that you're busy and you have a full life. And so we find an object, an anchor to ground into. And generally that anchor is, I like to start people off with sound, because what we're doing when we're quiet is we're listening. We're listening to the birds, we're listening to the river, we're listening to internal sound, which is our internal dialogue. Sometimes that's like a roaring freeway. And then we start to drop into the body, sensations in the body, feet on the ground, sitting bones on the cushion or the chair, the feeling of the hands from the inside out. Like if you're driving right now, can you feel the hands from the inside out? Like lighten up on the wheel for a minute and just feel that. This is this aliveness that's running through you all the time, always changing. So when we can quiet down and start to experience this subtle being, it can really inform us on how we want to relate in our world. So we leave the retreat, and maybe that's the jump start of a practice. Start with 2 minutes of meditation, then build up to five. Start in the beginning of the day. It informs the day. It helps us move through life. And we have very, very little control. So how we meet, what we have control over is how we meet what comes to us. Are we going to meet it with hostility? That bonehead just cut me off? Or are we going to meet it with kindness? May you make it to your destination on time. It's that choice that we have. We can't control the external world. We can have some say over our internal world.
For listeners just now joining, I'm speaking with Lisa Goddard, who is the founder of Roaring Fork Insight, which is an organization in the Roaring Fork Valley. Lisa, could you tell us a little bit about your weekly offerings in addition to this retreat that you have coming up?
Sure. So each Monday evening, we have a community that meets at the Roaring Fork Aikikai. That's behind the paint store on Dolores. It's a beautiful space. It feels very much like a Japanese zendo with tatami mats and very spacious. And we have a lovely community. And typically the format there at the Roaring Fork Aikikai, it's from 7:15 to 8:30. We sit for 30 minutes with a little bit of guiding, but mostly silent. And then there'll be some teaching. And we delve into, you know, in Buddhism, there are a lot of lists. And so right now we're unpacking one of the four, of one smaller list. It's the four Brahma Viharas. And Brahma Vihara simply means this, it's a divine abode or a place to live that is sacred. And they're beautiful practices, joyful practices. So that's the format. Often we work in partnership. So we'll do some relational mindfulness. And then I also offer a class for those that can't make Monday night at the Aspen Chapel on Wednesday from 11:30 to 1. And it's the same format. Sitting quietly first with some guiding, and then a bit of teaching, and then open for discussion and reflection. What's interesting about sitting quietly and then and hearing what is known as the Dharma, or these teachings on really reality, the way things are, is that then we are able to see for ourselves. So I come back to that phrase, ehi pasiko, right? Come and see for yourself. This is not about me teaching you anything. It's really about remembering what you already know, And when you sit quietly, that wisdom is available, but we have to create the space for it to arise within us.
I remember you saying once that it's less about building our identities. It's not so much a construction as a destruction. Really, we're excavating who we are underneath.
Absolutely.
All of these external layers that we acquire just throughout a single day, let alone a year or a lifetime. How can people be in touch or find out what you're up to? Do you have a website?
So if you're interested in the day-long meditation retreat, just to jumpstart the practice, or if you're already practicing in whatever tradition you practice in, whether it be centering prayer or Christianity or a different type of Buddhism, it doesn't matter what the practice. If you'd like to take a day of silence and come into the body and settle the nervous system and just be with your internal experience and get to know yourself, Sunday, July 14th from 10 to 5 at Flying Dog Ranch. And you can sign up for that in advance at roaringforkinsight.org. Nobody will be turned away for lack of funds. There is a suggested donation, but nobody will be turned away for lack of funds. This practice is for everyone. And the more people that practice, truly we will have a more peaceful and happy community. We already do. And I'm so grateful that so many people are doing this type of practice in their life. It makes for a cohesive culture. And I think now more than ever, if we can move through the world with kindness, we will. We can change how things are, even in just the smallest ways. So that's roaringforkinsight.org to sign up for the day long. And I would love to see some of you, all of you, come and practice on Monday evenings at the Roaring Fork Aikikai from 7:15 to 8:30. Or at the Aspen Chapel on Wednesdays from 11:30 till 1.
Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come to Katie and Kay and share a little bit of your wisdom and your experience around these practices, as well as a few ways that people can begin their own practice.
Yeah, I hope that some folks actually resonate with what I'm saying and would like to begin. You know, the most important thing, one of my teachers said is that what's the most important thing is to start and continue. To start and continue. That's all. So thank you, Raleigh. I've really enjoyed being here and sharing a bit of this practice that leads to freedom. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lisa Goddard of Roaring Fork Insight. May you have a wonderful day and best of luck with these events.
Thank you.